Steve's conversation with Joshua got us thinking about our favorite covers. We also put it to you alphas. Here's what we heard. Alpha Dan said, quote, "I don't think I'm the first one to say that the greatest cover songs do something new, rather than mimicking the original. Thus, Johnny Cash is hurt, a totally new spin on the Nine Inch Nails original. But at the same time, there's something to be said for the tribute cover, like Handle Me With Care, where Jenny Lewis, Ben Gibbard, Conor Oberst, and the Watson Twins pay homage to the brilliant Wilburys." End quote. Thank you, Dan. And we also heard from Angie. She wrote, quote, "Disturbed has many great covers besides The Sound of Silence. I really like their cover of Land of Confusion by Genesis. Mudvayne has a very unique cover of King of Pain by The Police. The Bad Plus has the best cover of Nirvana's Smells Like Teen Spirit." End quote. Thank you, Angie. We decided to have a beta roundtable to talk about cover versions. Our colleague Roz Gryert of Madison Power Pop Band Heavy Looks is here with us. And we also have Carl Christensen, executive producer, nay, showrunner of Zorba Pastor on Your Health with us. Carl is part of several Madison area bands. And last, but certainly not least, Beta's technical director and music director, Steve Gotcher, is here. Steve, you did a great job on that Joshua Farber interview. How did you discover Joshua?
I don't exactly remember, except that I have always been interested in cover music, mainly because I love taking a song that is powerful in its own right, having it deconstructed and then put together in a new way that gets you to look at it in a different way. And Joshua's take on it is going after acoustic music. He's very interested in folk and acoustic music. So his covers that he chooses are always folk and acoustic artists. And I found that those covers can be the most powerful because all the production is stripped away, and what you get is the lyrics and the very minimal arrangements that the folk artists do. And I have found so many of those to be really compelling and amazing.
Mm-hmm. Can you point to one thing that you learned about cover versions from your interview with Joshua?
I don't think so. I think it reinforced more things that I already knew about it than teaching me anything I didn't know about it.
Yeah, because you know a lot. You have an encyclopedic knowledge of music.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, Roz, what songs has your band Heavy Looks covered?
We have covered several over the past several years, but when we first started our band, that's what we mostly did. We just got together to start playing music, and we played stuff by The Cars. We played Blondie covers, a lot of power pop stuff, because that's kind of what we were aiming for. So we kind of put that into our set and kind of grooved on it and made it our own. One that we actually play quite often. We pick a lot of 90s songs just for funsies when we're playing a show because it's kind of out of nowhere. We play Flagpole Sitta by Harvey Danger. Mm. We also play Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba.
Yeah.
You know, just to refresh people's memories that these were once, you know, big hits and they're fun and people get into them. And
what's your philosophy in terms of, like, what do you look for? What are you trying to do when you do a cover version?
I think I'm just trying to really get the reaction from the crowd, like something like, oh man, I haven't heard that in so long, and it jogs their memory, but then we spin it with a little bit more of a punk sound and make it our own. I also think it's fun to take songs that were originally sung by men and then I sing them.
Right.
Put it my own spin
on it.
Yeah,
puts a whole different spin on it.
For
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. Carl, do you have favorite songs that you've covered over the years?
There's one band I play in, and I can't say the name on the air, on the radio, but we've done some pretty terrible covers, I guess, on purpose. One that stands out is Dreams by the Cranberries. We kind of played it straight, you know, like you talked about kind of putting your own twist on it. We pretty much, the instrumentation and everything, we played it just straight, but I have this vocal effect pedal where it throws my voice down an octave, and it kind of like this monster kind of sounding thing.
Yeah.
So it's a really straight cover, except for the vocals just sound really demented.
Yeah. And you also, the band whose name we can't say on the air, you've also done that great cover version of J.J. Cale's Cocaine, made famous by Eric Clapton. Tell me a bit about the story behind that.
It's actually, thanks. thanks for mentioning that.
Thank you.
It's a cover of a cover of a cover because basically, you know, like you said, J.J. Cale wrote the song. Eric Clapton made it famous. But what we were trying to do is there was this video going around YouTube a couple years ago of this local band somewhere in the South playing this song, this, you know, Cocaine. And it was some festival outside. It looked like it was in front of a music store, some local music store. And they were just struggling. Like, it was really, really, really rough. You know, like, it sounds like they didn't practice. The vocalist was reading the lyrics from a crumpled up piece of paper. And he kept shooting, you know, dagger looks at the guitarists as if he was the only one screwing up. But the entire band was completely, you know, especially the drummer. So we wanted to do a cover of that band's cover of Eric Clapton's cover of J.J. Cale's Cocaine.
Very
so
meta.
It's a cover of a cover.
Yeah, it's layers upon layers. Layers of meta.
Yeah.
So chunky you could eat it with a fork, but use a spoon. You'll want to get every drop. It's like... And how did people react to your cover of a cover of a cover?
Usually live, it gets a mixed response. But there was a kind of, I don't know, a semi-famous producer who happened to hear the song, Steve Albini, producer of a lot of rock bands over the years.
That's amazing.
He was driving into Madison for a conference he was doing, and he happened to hear our cover of Cocaine that was played on community radio. So we just got lucky, and he happened to hear it. And anyways, I get an email from Mr. Steve Albini saying how much he loved the cover and how much it made him laugh. So I think we just got really lucky.
That's awesome.
That's hilarious. I
That's
love
great.
That.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you guys kind of do covers as parody sometimes and maybe with like tub thumping. I don't know if you were trying to do like a true-to-life version of it.
But not so much. It was mostly just for fun.
Have you ever looked at a song and wanted to cover it as an homage to the song or maybe trying to bring a new meaning to it?
I would say yes. So what Carl was saying, they covered the Cranberries, and I was actually in a Cranberries tribute band, which were called an Uncranny Resemblance.
Oh, very good.
Uncranny Resemblance, yes.
But if it's a tribute band, then
is.
you're playing them faithfully, right?
Then
you're
I
trying
am.
To recreate
yes,
them.
Yes, yeah. we are. And so we also sang Dreams, and we put this together prior to the lead singer's death. So when we actually performed it, it was pretty emotional. It was actually very emotional because it was like, wow, we're actually singing these songs and giving life to them again. As if they're here.
Steve, I'm guessing there are several cover versions, favorites that you have. Is there one in particular?
Well, yeah, there are lots, but I'm going to speak to one that when I first heard it, I didn't even know it was a cover until I went, wait a minute, I've heard this before. What is it? It's Dolly Parton doing a Billy Joel tune, of all things, in a straight bluegrass style, really up-tempo, and it's called Travelin' Prayer. And you probably don't even know that song. It's actually, I believe it's the first song on his second album. And I'm not a Billy Joel fan.
Neither
but
am I.
I knew that song.
Neither am I.
Sorry. I knew that song. and when I heard her do it, I was just knocked out. First by the fact that it was just a great bluegrass version. But then I thought, this is a really good song. Then when I realized it was Billy Joel, I thought, oh, well, still a great song.
How did you discover it was Billy Joel?
Oh, like I say, I was listening to it, and I realized, I know what this is. I know what this is. It took me a while to think about it, and then I went, oh, my goodness, this is a Billy Joel tune. I can't believe it.
Yeah, so I'm curious what to know your all-time favorite cover versions are. Roz?
I don't know if you know the singer Anna Turnheim. She's Swedish, but I first heard of her in like 2007, and she does an amazing version of David Bowie's China Girl.
Oh.
And I didn't even realize it was China Girl at first because it's just so different. It's not poppy. It's really dark and kind of like dismal. I don't know, but it was beautiful and haunting and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I tend to listen to that a little bit more than I listened to David Bowie's version. I could escape this feeling with China Girl. I feel a wreck without my little China Girl.
You feel a bit guilty about that?
A little
just
bit.
The way you were saying.
A little yeah. bit. I love David yeah. Bowie so yeah. much, so, you know, nothing compares, but that cover is really awesome.
Cool. I have to check that out. Carl, what about you?
I like covers where you don't know who originally did it, and you hear the song, and you go through a lot of your life thinking that's the person who wrote the song. And I just found out recently, I was kind of doing a little research for this, and Girls Just Want to Have Fun is a cover. Maybe you guys knew that?
Yeah, no, that's right. Who did it originally?
Robert Hazard?
Yeah,
never
that's
heard
right.
Of him.
I only found that out within the last year.
Really?
Yeah.
Robert Hazard.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's such an iconic 80s song.
I just assumed Cyndi Lauper wrote
that. Yeah, and interesting that a man would have originally
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. That defines Cyndi Lauper, for me at least.
And another one, Carl?
So the other one, and it's pretty obvious, I think, for a lot of people, but I didn't know that Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You, when I first heard it, you know, when The Bodyguard came out when I was in middle school, like when that came out, I just thought that's a Whitney Houston song.
Mm-hmm.
No idea
it's
a Dolly Parton song.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you hear the Dolly Parton song now that I'm older, and it's an amazing song, but the original is great too. So
I used to sing into a hairbrush on my bed to that song when I was a kid. That was for real. That was probably one of the first songs that I felt like I wanted to be a performer after I heard
that. Yeah, I know this isn't about me at all, but if I can just say just quickly what my all-time favorite cover version is I Can't Get No Satisfaction, the Rolling Stones song, Devo's version, the Thinking Man Kisses version, because in that, with that robotic drum beat and just Mark Mothersbaugh's angst-ridden vocals, you really capture what the song is about that in a way that you don't get from the original. No disrespect to the Rolling Stones, but that, you know, that's what I think anyway.
I like that version too.
Mm-hmm.
That's really
great version.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. This has been a Beta Roundtable. Thanks to my table mates, Rosalind Geyer.
Yeah, thank you.
Carl Christensen.
Thanks a lot.
And Steve Gotcher.
Thanks, Doug.
And we'd like to know what your favorite cover version is. Hit us up on Twitter at WPRBeta or send us an email, beta@WPR.org. That does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Mike Sachs, Matt Zoller-Seitz, Alan Seppenwall, and Joshua Farber. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta Podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at WPR.org/beta or on Twitter at WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
He's a decent man, isn't he? You wouldn't think he would be.
Our executive producer, nay showrunner, is Adam Friedrich.
This man is your commanding officer. You live and die in his shadow. Understood?
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
Well, as I said before, I'm from the Midwest. You were taught that it's not polite to talk about yourself.